This is Jeff Corgan, oral historian for the State Historical Society of Missouri. Today's date is June 16th, 2009. I'm interviewing for the second time Dr. Robert Searfoss at his home in Mexico, Missouri. I'm accompanied by John Konzel, manuscript specialist at the Western Historical Manuscript Collection at the University of Missouri. This is the second time we're interviewing Dr. Searfoss. Last time, we finished talking about your B-17 bomber called Organized Confusion. And what I wanted you to start off talking about today was, could you tell me a little bit about flying in formation?
Okay, one of the early problems was the formation flying. And during the 30s, when the B-17 was designed and where most of the fighter aircraft were designed, formation flying was completely different than actual operational bomber flying or fighter flying. What we ended up with at the end of the war was a completely different type of formation than at first. At first, the formation flying was almost like wingtip to wingtip. And you've seen pictures where a camera has looked down this row of airplanes. And that was the early formation flying. That's what they thought was the proper thing. When the war came along, they found out that they could not turn fast enough because the one on the outside had to go twice as fast as the guy on the inside. They were constantly hitting each other in those turns. They found out that a box formation was the best way to approach a formation. Now, a box was it doesn't look like a box, but that's what they call it. And the guy who really pushed that was during World War II, was the colonel of our field. He designed this, and they found out that the bombers could turn much easier, and it didn't leave somebody too far behind. But where the early formations, when Thalen Charlie was left back there by himself, he was a dead duck because the Germans could pick him off by looking down the line and see who was turning first. During the day when formations were made, they would call around and tell so-and-so to move into a certain position, to move another guy to another position, until they worked out this box. They flew during the times when there were no operational missions over Germany or France or wherever the target was because of weather. It might be just wonderful over the target, but you couldn't take off or land in England with a mass of airplanes in the fog that they had, particularly in winter. Now, I was in there from January until the end of the war in 45, and people in England said that it was the nicest weather they'd ever had. The formation flying it wasn't difficult, but it was strenuous. Our old bombers did not have any power boosts. Everything they had was just a hunk of wire or cable that went back to the elevator or the rudder or to the ailerons. And you actually pushed those yourself, pushed and pulled. And when you sit there and push and pull for 8 to 10 hours, you're terribly tired. And that's where we were all the time. It was important that we learned how to stay in formation so that we could use less effort. The tail end Charlie had a chance to be protected by other planes. See, when you had 36 bombers, the lead plane make a small movement, but by the time it got to the tail end of the formation, it was a big movement. So tail end Charlie had to move laterally as well as up and down to stay in his position. I flew that several times back there on the tail end, and the poor engines, man, for 1 second you'd be going with the full power, everything you had, try to stay up, and the next moment you'd be run right on top of somebody. So the bombers were so heavily loaded that if you wanted to go down and you pushed the control forward, and it would wait, and then it would start to move down. And when the second it started to move back down, then you'd pull back. You'd wait and wait, and then the nose would come back up. And when you were in a formation like that, it was quite difficult to maintain the spot that you were in. I just loved to fly. As long as they weren't shooting, I was ready to go. I would fly anything, any place. The time when we went down into Germany and picked up a bomber load of champagne and brought it back to the group. And the many times I would get 2,780 gallons of gas and fly up to about 28,000 feet and cool the beer in the bomb bay. Well, there were a lot of those kind of things that went on.
In the old formation, tail end Charlie was the spot you did not want to be in,
no,
the bad spot.
Well, you didn't want to be in the other either.
So
it was much safer.
Okay, so in the box formation,
it was much safer.
It was better, but there still was not the spot you wanted to be in.
No.
Now, did you see a big difference? Did the new box formation, did it work better?
Oh, yeah.
Was that a regular occurrence where you'd have to cool the beer off or cool the champagne off?
Oh, no. Some sergeant down there was having a birthday or...
Now, was it more stressful to be the pilot in charge of the whole crew
or
equally stressful being a co-pilot, too?
The co-pilot sometimes had to help. When you got into really bad weather, you got to know the other guy so well that you could anticipate his movements. And you'd get on the controls with the pilot, and because he was working so hard, and so or he would say to you, "You've got it," the co-pilot would fly. And when he'd get tired, he'd say, "You got it." And you better say, you better be on it, because that's the way it is. Yeah.
During this whole time, when you weren't flying, you had another job to do.
Oh, yeah.
Could you tell me about what you did?
I didn't do anything, because we were so tired, we just slept most of the time. On top of the combat flying was the practice missions. We went up. Colonel would be flying along in his P-47 out about 500 yards, and we would be flying along in a loose formation, and he'd be yelling on the intercom, "Get it in there, get it in there." I can still hear him. Then you'd fly put your wingtip right in the left plane's window, right in the back window of the middle of the plane. Your number one engine would be chewing off his aileron, and you had to stay in there, and everybody. And the reason for practicing that way is because when we went down the bomb run, you see, we took off and went through all the procedures of getting the 36 bombers into 36 more groups into this great big long line of 2,000 bombers in a line who are going to a target.